With me, Andy Brown, here in the Radio Way studio is Andy Field, the current chairman of the Ashford and St Peter's Hospital NHS Foundation Trust. And at the end of August, Andy's tenure as chairman comes to an end. So it's with great pleasure I welcome him once again to Radio Way. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
So 6 years in the post as chairman. What are your thoughts and reflections on your time here at the Trust?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to say I have absolutely loved it here. I've loved the role and I've loved meeting so many people across the Trust. So I start from that point. I think the 6 years can be cut up, interestingly, into two-year chunks. Mm-hmm. If what I call the two-year pre-COVID honeymoon.
Right, yes.
Kind of 2 years of COVID and 2 years kind of post-COVID recovery. And I think each of those have had different challenges, different highs and lows, etc. But overall, I think what a great positive experience, and I'm actually really honoured to have been appointed and to have done this role for the 6 years.
Mm. So you talk about the middle period, the COVID pandemic. Can you actually remember where you were when you realised something big was going to be happening?
Yes. Well, I remember that in the run-up to it, I remember several of our eminent consultants, who shall be nameless, saying this is going to be like flu. This is going to be no different. And, of course, that was a common view across the country, wasn't it? And so that's what we were expecting. And then suddenly, I think, we started seeing numbers going up, numbers of admissions going up, and, of course, the ratcheting up behind the scene of the politics, etc., around it. And I thought it was interesting the way that the Southeast Asian countries probably coped better than we did, because they were so prepared for SARS, etc. And then and we had thought, well, we'll just get another flu pandemic. So I can't put my finger on the exact day, but it was this growing realization that something big was about to hit us.
Mm. And it did. As I say, obviously, wards had to be moved, the way people approached people coming into the hospital, the whole thing changed into the whole dynamics.
Yes, and I thought something from my kind of ex-military background I recognised was the focus. So suddenly the focus was on how do we save as many lives as possible. Obviously, you have to keep the emergency department going and emergency surgery, etc., but generally speaking, that focus was on, yes, you know, ramping up intensive care beds, getting people to do what wasn't in their normal jobs. Mm. And I recall, you know, junior doctors and other nurses having to stand in for intensive care nurses because, of course, we haven't got enough. And my overall impression was just how well the Trust pulled together for COVID, and with that single aim. And looking back, I think that the post-COVID is more difficult than COVID was, because when you do have a single aim and everybody's pulling in the same direction, it's a very positive experience, even though there was horror going on, particularly in the pre-injection, before we had those...
the vaccination,
yeah,
yes.
The vaccination programme.
Yeah, that's right. And also the changes that to the medical staff in interacting with patients, suddenly now video conferences and telephone calls. It was quite a change.
It was, and I think there were some real positives came out of that as well, because if you don't need to bring people on site for a consultation, why not do it there? They save on travel, they save on car parking charges, etc., and we can do it more effectively. Now, it's not to say, of course, every consultation can be done remotely, because it can't, but I think keeping up with a level of remote consultation is positive for both patients and our staff.
Mm. So also, with your background in the armed forces, that has been quite a change here in the Trust. The Trust has become veteran aware. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, I'm delighted that we signed up to the military covenant, and that we did that actually on the very first open day that we did before COVID. And that's meant looking after both veterans and their families from a health point of view, giving them the right treatment they need at the right time. And also, of course, the Step Into Health program, where recruiting from the armed forces, and that's been very, very successful. Now, clearly, at one point we had three members of the board who are ex-armed forces. That will now change when I leave, and obviously Suzanne and Andrea have already moved on to bigger and better things. But I think the programme will go on, and went down to Portsmouth earlier this year to get the Gold Award, and we've got to maintain that Gold Award. You don't just get it and there. You've really got to work hard at it, and our team are right on that.
I'm sure they'll do that. And also new areas have developed. A&E has grown. There's the Urgent Treatment Centre, the Clinical Assessment Unit, also the multi-storey car park, which visitors and patients will have seen. So it's encouraging, isn't it, here at the Trust? Yeah.
I think the decision we made very early on in my tenure, which was to sell land, and of course we have to be very careful because you can only sell land once, but that released capital, and that released the capital, as you say, to do not just the multi-storey car park, but extra theatres in Ashford, the refurbishment of the nurseries, particularly the Ashford one, really, really good, and of course the clinical assessment unit, as you say, same-day emergency care. So we've used that money wisely. I think it's been more difficult recently as there are strict limits now, even if you've got the cash in the bank, on how much capital you can actually spend. Mm. And that makes it very difficult because we've still got a big capital programme that we'd like to do.
Mm. A little bit of frustration there.
Yes.
But that's the challenge, isn't it?
Well, it is.
And then obviously the members of what we call Team ASPH, all those that work and volunteer here, have done wonderful over the last 6 years, and the Trust have helped by introducing the wellbeing centres and also the change in catering. That's been quite an impact, hasn't it?
Yes, and I think of all the things, the change in catering I would like to highlight, because it's been a revolution, and Ralph and his team are really on it. And I was absolutely delighted earlier this year, and I was determined that before I left that our colleagues at Ashford should get the same standard of catering as colleagues here at St Peter's, and that has now been achieved, integrated into the wellbeing centres. And so, yep, I think people come to work and they've got very high quality food at a very reasonable price, and I think that should continue. And I think that was an interesting side benefit, really, of the pandemic in terms of the previous holders of the contract obviously couldn't make things work as the footfall fell during the pandemic, and we took the opportunity to insource and hire the right people. And I think that's what we've done. And then we can see in their happy, smiling faces when you go across there that they're a great team.
Absolutely. You know, hospital food is just up there. The standard is fantastic.
Absolutely.
I congratulate them on that.
And I think the other thing I'd like to call out is the volunteers. And that goes right the way from the governors all the way through all the volunteers who help us. I mean, they have been so good. And, of course, a lot of them had to be stood down to a certain extent during COVID. But, of course, we had all the volunteers for the vaccination programme, which was absolutely fantastic when we ran it over here in Chertsey House. But the hospital would not run effectively without the volunteers. As I say, going from the governors all the way through to the meet and greet people in ICU, yourself, obviously Radio Way, etc. They do such a great job.
Mm. And another element also is the healing arts, looking at the artwork, sculpture, the music here. That has taken off. Two gardens now here at St Peter's. So that's, again, quite something for the Trust.
Yes. I mean, actually, the number of gardens is growing. It's going to be
realize.
Four now, because we've had the multi-faith garden. We've got the eternal garden for our palliative care patients and their families, which was so good. The staff garden. And, of course, another garden is under construction at the moment.
Mm.
And we have some great spaces in Ashford as well.
Absolutely.
So having these quiet spaces for both patients in the case of the Eternal Garden and for staff, really important that they can go somewhere, have their lunch in peace, have the sandwiches or whatever, or just take a little bit of time out on a break. Music, I think we started this before the pandemic, and I remember the very first experimentation in NICU, in our neonatal intensive care unit, where I saw somebody come in with a guitar and start singing to the babies. And we actually saw impact on the baby's vital signs calming down. And, of course, the parents also calmed down. And expanding that music program is really, really important. And, of course, it's funded via our charity, so it's very, very important that we raise the money in order to keep that momentum on the healing arts.
Mm. Now, as the chairman of the trust, you chair the Council of Governors and also the board, and also have seen three chief executives in your period.
Yes.
Suzanne's when you started, David Flux stepped in, and then now Julie Smith. So three different characters.
Yes, and I think the most important thing I think a chairman has to do during their tenure is, if the chief executive changes, getting the right new chief executive in post. And that's probably the thing that kept me awake at night. Obviously, having to replace somebody as charismatic and effective and efficient as Suzanne. But I'm delighted that David stepped up to the mark so well during COVID and obviously in the interim. And Julie, I believe, is going to do some great things, and indeed is already doing some great things here too. So, yes, it's been a delight working with them all very different characters. You learn everything from getting the interaction, and the chairman chief executive interaction is really, really important in a trust.
That's right. So a little bit of change of direction now. What do you do to switch off and relax if you get a chance?
So I'm a photographer. So I do get out with my camera, particularly look at nature. My wife describes me as the bee paparazzi. So we do that, bees, butterflies, and basically landscapes. Right. So that, obviously I'm very heavily involved in our local church, and that will continue. And I'm indeed a trustee of a church up in the Cotswolds, where we have a little cottage. So, yes, and there's plenty to do, of course, planning to go and see my granddaughter out in Thailand. Right. Which I will be doing as soon as I hand over here, more or less.
Right.
We don't see enough of her, of course, living so far away, but that's definitely
a trip that's on the cards.
On there.
Brilliant. And types of music that you like to listen to?
Very eclectic. Right. So I am a child of the 70s, but obviously love the 60s music. When I was in primary school, that was all going on. I think when I first came in here, we looked for one of my favourite songs and played Love Her Madly by The Doors,
right.
As I remember. But if you look at my Spotify playlists, there's so many from the ballads through to the sort of harder rock stuff. And I like country music as well. Very, very fond of country music.
Nice range there. So looking to the future, how do you see the Trust progressing?
I think the Trust has got two main thrusts. Obviously, we've got to carry on doing what we are very good at, all our normal care. But we are in the Northwest Surrey Alliance, and that's going to be very, very important going forward, collaborating with local authorities, with our health partners, CSH, where, of course, I'm carrying on as chairman, and the GPs, just to give more integrated care to our patients. Because, to be honest, as a patient, you don't really want to see the join between health organisations, and I'm afraid that has been the case for many, many years. And the more we can work together to eliminate those joins, I think so. In Northwest Surrey, it's about getting care closer to the patients, and the diagnostic centre that's about to open in Woking Hospital, where I was yesterday, that's going to be really important as well. So we're not dragging people into the hospitals all the time say having to go to Ashford from Woking, etc., etc. So that's very, very important. And the other one is the provider collaborative, where the acute trusts in Surrey Heartlands and the mental health trust working together to rationalise services, to make the most of who's the best at I don't know, the musculoskeletal services, who's the best at the cancer service. And we have that already. We work very, very closely with our partners. Obviously, things like ear, nose and throat are already integrated with Royal Surrey, the cancer services, etc. There will be more of that. And, of course, the Surrey Heartlands Elective Centre coming to Ashford is really excited for Ashford and Ashford colleagues there. More theatres, more people working together, and a real centre of expertise, particularly knees, hips and eyes.
And that's it. It's concentrating the expertise rather than thinly over the ground, isn't it? So yourself, you say you're remaining as the chair of the Central Surrey Health, CSH, but also you're going to a new role. It's a bit like you're starting your career again. You're going back to school and college. You're taking up the chair at the Bourne Trust. So what will that involve?
Indeed. And I think all the way through my career, I think I've enjoyed taking on new challenges, but whether that was in the military, whether that was in Deloitte as a management consultant. So, when I come back from Thailand at the end of September, I take on chair of the Bourne Education Trust. It has some 26 schools, 22 in Surrey, 2 in Richmond Borough and 2 in Hampshire at the moment, but growing. And that will be different, be more hands-off. Obviously, you're a volunteer in education, but I'm really looking forward to getting out. And as people will know, I do try and get out and about and visit. So I've got 26 schools to visit. That'll keep me out of mischief for a while. And obviously the normal board meetings, etc. But I'm very excited because both CSH and Bourne are our partners here. Mm-hmm. So I will still keep links with the hospital through those partners. And particularly with the Bourne Education Trust, there's a real virtuous circle here in terms of making sure that they're aware of the careers that we can offer in the NHS. We supply, you know, information on things like healthy eating, diabetes, etc., to the pupils and through them to their parents. So I think there's a real opportunity for working together going forward.
I think that's brilliant. So, Andy, let me end by thanking you for your dedication, your time, your support. You've given everyone here at the Trust, including the volunteers, and I'm going to wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you very much, Andy. It's been a delight.